2 Corinthians 3. And we're just going to look at one verse, verse 6. Paul says, God also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, God does not find His ministers. God makes His ministers. He makes His ministers. Paul said He made us able ministers. He comes to us with the gospel and creates His preacher anew, just like He does every other sinner of His. He teaches us the gospel. He sends His preacher. He gifts His preacher. He preaches His preacher. And He makes the word effectual in the hearts of His people. He makes His ministers able ministers. So that's great assurance to you right now. You know, there was a prophecy in Jeremiah 3:15 where the Lord said, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's a prophecy. Remember, Christ said, I came to fulfill the prophets. He's the one that's going to do that. He's going to give His people pastors after His own heart, and they will feed, not with lies, but with the truth. That's Christ's work. He'll do that. Our subject today, though, I want to look at this last phrase, the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit giveth life. I'm going to show you a couple of things before we get to that, but that's going to be our focus. And here's what I want you to see. Christ makes His preachers preach the gospel of Christ. He makes His preacher preach the gospel of Christ in spirit and in truth. And through that message, Christ speaks into the heart and puts a new spirit in His child and continues to quicken the heart of His people in that new spirit. He makes us worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what He does. First of all, Paul tells us here that Christ makes His preachers preach not of the letter. Letter preaching, preaching of the letter, in the context right here, means preaching the Ten Commandments. Because he tells us in verse 7, he's speaking about the law written and engraven in stones. And the Ten Commandments was the only part of the law written in stone. So he's talking particularly here about the Ten Commandments. But preaching of the letter includes anything that is put between a sinner and Christ that he's required to do. Anything that's put between a sinner and Christ, or anything that is to be added by the sinner in addition to Christ, that's preaching the letter. That's preaching law. It's not preaching grace. That's preaching law. You know, you have some that'll talk about, you know, you have to keep the works of the law, you can't be saved. Do the works of the law, you can't be saved. Some will say you have to have a certain knowledge of doctrine before you can be saved. That's putting something between the sinner and Christ. Christ is who we need to know. Not our system of doctrine. We need to know Christ. Some folks will say you got to put away your sin, and you got to learn the church creed, and you got to, you know, learn our church rules and all that, or you can't be saved. Some people make the gifts of grace to be a work. Faith and repentance and baptism. They say that's what saves you, and you can't be saved unless you do those things. And they teach the sinner he can do those things on his own. That's law. That's preaching the letter of the law. Now, Scripture uses circumcision to stand for anything that is put into the sinner's hand to do in place or in addition to Christ. It uses circumcision, and it includes everything. Anything that is put into the sinner's hand to do to save himself in addition to Christ. And the reason circumcision is used is because circumcision is what brought the Jews under the covenant, the old covenant of the law. But see, that circumcision was picturing circumcision of the heart, which is done by God in spirit, whereby we're brought under the everlasting covenant of grace. But the depraved sinner can't see that. So the depraved sinner looks to law. And they've even tried to say that circumcision now in the New Testament is baptism or sprinkling. And that's why they sprinkle infants, because they say that's the equivalent to circumcision. But it's not. Circumcision pictured the work of the heart, the work God does in the heart. But you remember the Apostle Peter, when he was faced with will workers. In Acts 15, Scripture says, certain men came down from Judea, and they taught the brethren, they said, except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. Circumcised after the manner of Moses. They bring them under the law of Moses. And they said, except you come back under the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And then it says there they were of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. Nobody says they don't believe in salvation by grace through faith apart from our works. Nobody says that. But they teach it. Nobody will say that, but they teach. Oh, we're saved by salvation by grace through faith in Christ. But they teach works. It says they believed, but it says they came saying it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. You see, when you do that, you disannul anything you preached about grace. After you preach grace and you turn around and put somebody under the law, grace is gone. It's become all works then. But Peter stood up and he preached, and he said, he told them about, he preached of the Spirit. They preached of the letter, he preached of the Spirit. And he told them about how God sent him to some Gentiles. Gentiles never had the law. Gentiles were never even under the law. Except in some rare cases where they were converted, but never, where God didn't give them the law. And he said, God called me to preach to some Gentiles, and I went down there and preached to them. And he said, and God purified their hearts by faith. He put no difference between us and them. In other words, it wasn't the law keeping that made a difference. It was God's grace that made the difference. Not us that made the difference. He put no difference between us. He made the difference. And he purified their hearts by faith, he said. And he said, and we believe we shall be saved. Us Jews shall be saved just like those Gentiles shall be saved. That was a big statement. Because he was saying we're going to be saved without the works of the law just like God saved them. We're going to be saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ just like they were saved. And that's preaching of the Spirit now. But why do will workers tell you need to keep the Ten Commandments? You hear this all the time, and I want the young people, young believers, to understand this. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law had to be fulfilled. But the reason that churches tell people they have to keep the Ten Commandments is for sanctification, to be holy, and to get more and more holy, which you don't get more and more holy. You're holy when Christ makes you holy. You fit then to be partaker of the inheritance with the saints in light when he's made you new. You'll get more holy. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ in that state of holiness. Just like when you were born, you didn't become more of a human being. You grew in that state of a human being. Well, when he makes you a new spiritual life, a new man, you grow in that holy state, but you don't grow more holy. But they teach you that, and they teach you how it's going to make you obedient. But listen to what God says. God says that's not what makes us obedient. What made us believe in the first hour? The hearing of the faith of Christ. Hearing about Christ and what he did. That's how he saved us in the first hour. That's how he continues to do it. He continues to constrain us by his love, and that love's only heard of through the preaching of Christ's works and how he accomplished our redemption, fulfilling the law completely for us. That's how you're constrained by his love. I want you to turn to Galatians 3. I want you to see this. There's a couple of passages in Galatians I want you to see. Look here, man, and this is just so clear. You know, they try to divide the law between the the Ten Commandments and the ceremony, so they can say, but you're not under the ceremony, but you're still under the Ten Commandments. Well, all the law is one law, and Christ has fulfilled it. And Christ now, we're under Christ. We're under His power and His dominion, under grace, and He's teaching us. Watch this now. Galatians 3:2, and He's doing it through the gospel. That's what He's talking about in our text. The hearing of faith is the same thing as the ministry of the Spirit. Now watch this. Galatians 3:2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And when He says hearing of faith, He's talking about by the hearing of Christ's faithfulness, by the hearing of the gospel, by the ministry of the Spirit. And He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You're now going to go back to the law and persevere to the end by keeping the law? Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, Christ ministers to you the Spirit. He that does that and works miracles among you, the miracle of regeneration and a miracle of faith and a miracle of continuing in faith. He that's working these miracles, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We saw last night the law, Ten Commandments, wasn't given until 430 years after Abraham believed God. Abraham was given faith to believe on Christ and rest in Christ through the gospel of Christ. Read on, read verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in these shall all nations be blessed. God has always saved His people through the gospel of Christ, not through the hearing of the works of the law, through the gospel of Christ. Well, if keep your place right there. I want you to see this. Now go to Galatians 2. Well, if Christ is not working through the hearing of the works of the law, He's only ministering through the preaching of the gospel. What our text calls the ministry of the Spirit. If He's only working a work in the heart through that message, then who's doing all this you see in churches where they're turning back to the law and telling men to go back to the law? Who's doing that? Who's working that work? Look here. You remember when Peter got up from the table? He was sitting there eating with Gentiles. And he got up when he saw his Jewish brethren coming, and he went over and he sat down with his Jewish brethren. Why'd he do that? The law said they couldn't have any fellowship with Gentiles. So when he got up from that table, just by getting up from that table and going to sitting with the Jews when they came, he was turning back to the law. And look what Paul said, verse 17. If while we seek to be justified by Christ, that is, if we claim to be saved by grace through faith in Christ, by Christ's works alone, and we ourselves also are found sinners. Now, what sin is he talking about? What Peter just did. Getting up and turning back to the law. That's the context. That's what he's talking about. If I'm found to commit that sin of turning back to the law, is therefore Christ the minister of that sin? Did Christ minister that in my heart? Did Christ tell me to turn back from Him to the law and my works? God forbid. If I build again the things which I destroyed. I claim the law was fulfilled when I claim to believe on Christ. If I build again the things I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Men are doing that themselves. Christ is not in it. He's just not in it. And here's the difference. I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God now. Not unto Moses and the law, live unto God. Walk by the Spirit, led of the Spirit, taught of the Spirit. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. By His faithfulness, the same one who loved me and gave Himself for me, He's working in my heart to keep me following him. And he's doing it through the preaching of the gospel. That's what he's saying. All right, now, let's go to the second thing here now. Why don't we preach the law? Because the law kills. The letter killeth. He said the letter killeth. He calls it the ministration of death and the ministration of condemnation. What does that mean? Go with me to Romans 7. Now, Paul, you remember Paul? He said, as touching the law, I was blameless. Concerning the outward works of the law. If you looked at Paul, you would have seen a man that you would have said, you can't get more righteous than that man. He's keeping the law. At least outwardly, that's how it looked. Paul wasn't immoral. We're not talking about immorality here. And look what Paul says all that was. Watch this. Sin, verse 8. Sin, taking occasion by the commandment, worked in me all manner of concupiscence. What does that mean? Concupiscence is unlawfulness. Remember, Paul said the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Paul wasn't using the law lawfully. He was using the law to measure his righteousness. And thereby, he thought he was saved and thought he had life and thought he had put away his sin. And it worked in him nothing but self-righteousness and self-sanctification. That's the concupiscence he's talking about. Look here in verse 8. He said, "For without the law, sin was dead, for I was alive without the law once." You see, he said, that's what he thought. Sin deceived him, and he thought, I have mortified my sin. Look how good I'm doing. The law says do this and don't do that, and I'm doing all that. I have put away my sin, and I'm alive to God now. But he couldn't hear the law. He was without the law. He couldn't hear it. But Christ came and made him hear it. And he said, and when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. You see the opposite? That fruit of death that he worked in him by the law made him think he was alive and his sin was dead. But that's the letter that killeth. If a man's left in that state, that letter, when he meets God in judgment, that letter will kill him, and it will condemnation will be ministered to him, and eternal death will be ministered to him in hell forever. But the ministry of the Spirit is Christ taking that law and teaching us, it says, you're guilty and you need Christ. And you need Christ. That's the ministry of the Spirit that does that. And Paul said, because the Lord used the law and did that to him, taught him that he was a sinner by the law, and used that law, he said that law bears witness of Christ. That law shows you, when it shows you you're unrighteous and not holy and not good, it is Christ to use it to show you, as big and wide as that law is, Christ is the fullness of it. He is the righteousness of it. He's the just one. He's the good one. And Paul said, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. He said, why is the law, why do I say that? Because, not because the law taught me I was holy, just and good, because the law told me I wasn't. That's why I delight in it. That's why I'm saying the law's good. It's good. You see, that's the opposite of how the world uses the law. They use the law to measure their righteousness by it. They're doing it. Paul said, I delight in it because it told me I was guilty and I couldn't keep it. And I delight in it because Christ used it to show me he's the righteous one. The fulfillment of it. Now, if there's anybody here that thinks you can be saved by law, listen to the scripture. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, and you put there whatever it is that you imagine you're doing that's going to somehow get you a leg up with God. It doesn't matter what it is. If any man be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that's circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are that's justified by law, you're fallen from grace. Well, why can't I keep the law? He said, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Because it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You see, you can't just pick out what you want to keep. You got to keep it all in thought, word, and deed. The law is spiritual, and we're carnal, so under sin. And until Christ makes you a spiritual man with spiritual life, you can't hear the spirituality of the law telling you that it reaches to the thoughts and intents of your heart. But when he does that, you realize, I can't keep the law. I never have kept the law myself. Well, how do you establish it? Through faith in Christ. He established it for me. And through faith in Christ. That's what Paul said in Romans 3:31. We don't make void the law through faith. That's what we're accused of. Oh, y'all are antinomian. No, sir. The antinomian is a man who's going around bragging that he can keep the law. That's bringing the law down. That's dishonoring the law. Christ is the only one that keeps the law, or else God wouldn't have sent his son. And we keep it, Paul said, through faith in him. That's the only way. All right, now go to this third thing. Now here's where I want to get into this. He gives life the Spirit. It's called the ministry of the Spirit there in our text. He said he made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The Spirit gives us life. Now I want you to pay close attention here. This is our focus. This helped me, and I think it'll help you too. Preaching of the Spirit is what we preach. It's what you hear here, what you've heard for years here. Is Christ fulfilled every aspect of God's covenant so that when he makes that covenant with us in our hearts, he's teaching us that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus to the praise of the glory of God's grace. That's what he teaches you in your heart. There's nothing left for us to do. Believing Christ, he's not doing. Believing Christ is ceasing from doing. Now don't get me wrong. When God's going, he going to create good works in his people. And they're going to do them. But you're going to do them by him working in you. I'm talking here about works for salvation. We cease from that. He changes your heart. He changes the motive. Now you rest in Christ. David said, although my house be not so with God, yet he's made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, and this is all my salvation, though he make it not to grow. He said, I'm looking at my earthly house right now. It's not so with my earthly house. Nothing but sin in me, and God don't make this flesh grow at all. It's nothing but sin. But that's not my salvation. Nothing I do is my salvation. My salvation is God made with me an everlasting covenant. And he didn't leave a thing in my hand. He ordered it, and he made it sure in all things, and that's all my salvation. That's preaching of the letter, preaching Christ and him crucified. Now, the reason Christ makes his preacher minister the Spirit, preach the gospel, is because the Spirit giveth life. Now I want you to look at our text, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, and notice there, 2 Corinthians 3, 6. See that word Spirit? It's spelled with a little S. See that? A little S. It's not speaking here of God the Holy Spirit. It means breath. That's what the word means, breath. It means spirit. It means life. Let me show you. Turn to John 6. John chapter 6. This is Christ speaking. John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. You see that? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now you don't have that in you, and I don't have that in me by nature as we're born. So what's he talking about? Now watch. The flesh profiteth nothing. That means you and I don't do a thing to make this happen. What is the Spirit he's talking about then? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what he's talking about. That the Spirit giveth life. He's talking about the gospel. When Christ speaks that gospel, when he speaks his words, his gospel into our heart effectually, he gives a new spirit. Quickeneth a new spirit, and he gives that spirit his life, his spiritual life. That's how we have spiritual life. Christ speaks it. You know, in the garden, what happened? God took a dead, lifeless body, and he breathed into that body the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Well, in the new creation, which is all of Christ, he takes a dead sinner, just like God took a dead body. He takes a spiritually dead sinner, and he doesn't breathe into him the breath of life and make him a living soul. He breathes into him the Spirit. He speaks his word in us, and he creates a new spirit and life within us. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Look at John 5:21. You wouldn't believe this, but a man used John 5 the other day. A free will man used this to try to defend free will, that he could make himself believe and give himself life and all this stuff. And look at this. Christ is talking to Pharisees here. He just spoke and made that lame man at the pool of Bethesda altogether whole. And he said, you're going to see greater miracles than that. That's nothing. And he's talking about speaking and making us whole with this new spirit, putting this new spirit in us and making us alive. Watch what he said. Verse 24. He says, verse 21. He says, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. You see that? Christ quickeneth whom he will. Look at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that means this is of utmost importance, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead, spiritually dead, he's not talking about the resurrection yet, he's talking about him bringing you out of the grave of your depravity, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He's talking about the first resurrection. He's talking about what God talked about in Ezekiel 37 when he said, look at these dry bones. Preach to them. Preach to them. Pray the Holy Spirit will come. And he said, and I'll breathe life into them. And he said, and as I preach, God breathed life into them. And they stood up and became alive. And God said, this is the whole house of Israel. This is how I'm going to save my people. And when I've done this, when I've breathed life into you, and God said, and brought you out of your grave. Because we're just dead by nature. When I've brought you out of your grave in that first resurrection, then you're going to know I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here. And that's how he puts that new spirit, that little S in us, and makes us alive and makes us know he did it. Look at John 4:23. You see, John's letter is declaring Christ Lord. That's what he's doing. Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Savior. And that's why Christ speaks so much about this in the book of John. It's because he's declaring how he's one with the Father and has all power. Well, he always had that. But he's talking about as the God-man, he's got that now. As both God and man in one, he has this power. Look at John 4:23. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, little s, and in truth. He's talking about in the new spirit that he puts in us where he teaches us the truth of the gospel. He doesn't teach us that truth in the old flesh. He teaches us this in the new spirit. He says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a capital S spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in little s spirit and in truth. He's saying we got to worship him in the new man, in the new spirit. And we have to do it in truth. And it's only in that new spirit that he teaches us the truth. He doesn't teach us the truth in our old stony heart. No, he teaches us the truth in that new spirit. He said the Spirit itself, capital S, the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our little s spirit that we're children of God. That's where he teaches us the gospel. You see, there is God the Holy Spirit in his child, and there is the little s spirit that he puts in us. You get that? It's not just Christ in you. It's Christ in you working in a new spirit that he put in you, a new man he put in. He doesn't believe for us. He makes us believe in that new spirit. And my flesh does not believe. My flesh wars against me constantly. It does nothing because he hadn't taught that flesh anything at all. That's why Christ said that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of capital S Spirit, of God the Holy Spirit, is little s spirit. You get what I'm saying? You get that? Now, why does he call Christ's preachers the minister of the Spirit? Because he does this through the preaching of the gospel. That's what Paul is declaring. He made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, of the Spirit, of the gospel. Because through that, Christ is speaking these words and creating that new spirit in us and giving us life. He said, and Peter said, you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through God the Holy Spirit. Christ is working this through God the Holy Spirit. Being born again, he said, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is the incorruptible seed? You were born the first time by a seed. That's how you were naturally generated. How are we regenerated? By an incorruptible seed. And what is that seed? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's what Christ is declaring in our text through Paul. You hear the gospel preached, it won't do you any good if that's all you hear is a man preaching. But when Christ speaks in the heart, you're born of incorruptible seed. Now, I'm out of time. Can I show you one more thing? He says here it's called the ministration of righteousness. He calls it the ministration of righteousness. You know, when you minister to somebody, you're ministering something to somebody. Ministry of the Spirit, he ministers a new spirit to us. It's how God said he put a new spirit in us. And he says also he ministers to us righteousness. Now, I told you last night, and this is so, life is righteousness with God. When God gives life, it's righteousness. That's the only kind of life. God don't deal in anything but righteousness. And life is righteousness. That's why if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Don't you understand? We understand what because of sin means. It means our whole body is nothing but sin. Well, listen to this. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That means that new man that the Spirit of God has created is created in righteousness, in the righteousness of Christ. You get that? That's why he said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the only kind of life God makes. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. There's a new image recreated within his people. What's God's image? He's righteous and holy. Can't be anything but. That's what the new man is. Well, I thought God just imputed righteousness to us. When God imputes righteousness, it's because that's what he has made us. That's what imputation is according to the scripture. It's not God treating you as if you are. It's him making you so, and therefore he treats you. He imputes to you righteousness. You can find it in the Old Testament. He said, if a man doesn't bring the blood sacrifice to the altar, he said, blood shall be imputed to that man. Why? He has shed blood. That's what it said. Don't impute blood to him and make him to have shed blood. Impute blood to him because he did shed blood. And when he imputes righteousness to us, it's because he made us righteous by what he did at the cross and what he's done in the heart. And one day, when he gets done with his work, we will be totally righteous, all within and without. And it'll all be the work of Christ. This is how he puts the, makes the new covenant with you. He said, I'm going to write my laws in your heart. You know what laws means? Doctrines. He doesn't write the old covenant law on your heart. He writes the law of faith and the law of sin and the law of righteousness. The doctrine of faith, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of righteousness, the doctrine of the love of Christ, the doctrine of liberty. All those you can find in the New Testament. That's what he writes on the heart. Teaching you Christ is your only righteousness. And that makes you rest in Christ. And you walk, he said, and you'll walk in my statutes and my judgments and keep them. Oh, that must mean we got to go back to the law. No, you do that by walking in faith. The law's not of faith. You walk in faith. That's how. Listen to this. This is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 3:3. You are the epistle of Christ written with the Spirit of the living God in the new submissive fleshly tables of the heart. You get that? It's the same thing. And that's when of God Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything we need, and we rest in Him. And this is not a one-time thing. You know, our outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. You come out, you come here today, and Christ is going to quicken you in that inward man, strengthen you in that inward man, and send you out of here renewed. And you're going to go out there, and you're just going to, your old man's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until next Wednesday. You're going to come back in here, and Christ's going to renew you again. And he keeps doing it to the end, just like he did it in the beginning, through the gospel. Amen.